This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
The most difficult question for a third culture kid to answer is, where are you from? It depends on how you feel at any given moment. It depends on whether or not you smell the rain from that first rain, and at that moment you're in Africa. But given a few minutes later, there may be something else that'll push another button and trigger another memory, and you have a strong identity of some other part of the world. Kids who are in the diplomatic corps have this long string of places where they have spent 2 years in each spot. The fact is that they have more places with which they identify. But nevertheless, whether it's two places with which you identify, one on one side of the globe and one on the other, or whether there are a dozen, it still is a matter of saying, I'm not sure which one I really belong to. And the person who is identifies with Kenya and the United States, wherever they happen to be, there's a longing to be in the other place. And it's not because they are inclined to be dissatisfied. It's the fact they'd like to pull it all together. One gal told me some time ago that her dream of heaven is having all of her friends together in one place. And she said she actually dreams this. She has this reoccurring dream of having everybody that she knows, a variety of different cultural backgrounds, all in one place, and she's just kind of standing in the middle looking at them all. And she said that dream comes back again and again. Elements from each culture are incorporated into your life, but your sense of belonging is in relationship to others of similar experience. That's what this gal catches in the last part of her poem, Travelers. When we come together, we form our own nation of travelers, of in-betweens. Even where we've blended, stop trying to explain, we meet our own and know each other. This one understands. We speak the same memories, dream ourselves in the same overloaded truck, rattling and bumping along in a cloud of dust as we sing. But it's the sense that there's a relationship to people who may not have shared the same culture, who don't know the same language, who haven't had the same experiences in terms of specific experiences, but have shared the same experience of having grown up in a culture other than their own. Many international students are third culture kids. They have grown up either in the diplomatic corps or in international business situations, and they are more likely to identify with a missionary kid than they are with someone who comes from the same country background that they do. Now, that's the working definition that we'll build on. So when I talk about third culture kids, that's what we're talking about. And third culture kids include missionary kids, diplomatic corps kids, Department of Defense kids, international business kids. To a limited extent, depending on the background and what has happened, refugee kids may also be third culture kids. Now that pushes some buttons in our thinking, or ought to recognize that being a third culture kid is not a 20th century phenomenon. There's a whole book in the New Testament that is written to families that are raising third culture kids. 1 Peter, to those who are scattered abroad throughout Bithynia and Cappadocia and Galatia. 90% of third culture kids are conversant in at least one other language. It's not uncommon, as I traveled overseas schools, to find kids who are conversant in five or six languages, and many who are very comfortable at least with that the second language, and maybe even consider English their second language, having really been immersed in the language as children. Linguistic ability is no small issue, but if you happen to be a teacher in a school and a missionary kid is in your classroom, you need to be aware of the fact that that linguistic ability may cause a few problems in the whole process of learning, particularly if they have had some of their education or a significant part of their education in a national school in a language other than English. One of the things that you may find is that third culture kids who are multilingual tend to be creative spellers. And even kids who have grown up in a situation where there's been a British influence, they may not be creative, they just use a lot more letters than other people do. And they put U's in where nobody ever thinks here that you need a U, but you do there. And so that may be a factor. Another factor is that language is not just a matter of translating one word into another word that is acceptable to somebody else in another culture. It's a whole way of thinking. There's a logic that every language has, its own logic, its own patterns of thought, its own structure. So when an individual has been in a French school and through grade school and then suddenly discovers that they're in the middle of an English school, the way they write may be very different. Sentences may be longer. The thought progression may be different. They may be writing in English, but they're thinking in French or they're thinking in Spanish. And we need to recognize that if we're the teachers. We also need to be sensitive to that when those kids try to fit into a school. And suddenly this A student is struggling with courses that have never been a problem before. And many times parents are not quick to recognize that. They're not sure why the kids are not doing well in the new school situation when they've come back to the States. People who are working with these kids and working through the church and in contact with those parents may be able to intervene early enough so that that doesn't become a major problem. Cross-cultural skills. Third culture kids can't list their cross-cultural skills, they just have them. They tend to be less prejudiced. They tend to be very good observers. In saying they're less prejudiced, however, I've met some third culture kids who are intensely prejudiced. Unfortunately, some of them reflect the attitudes and dispositions of parents. And some of them reflect that disposition and are prejudiced, particularly toward people in the country where they've been, because the only contact they may have had with the people from that nation or that country, with as far as any depth is concerned, has been contact with them as servants. And that's an area that I believe we really need to be aware of and sensitive to this on the overseas, that we make sure that we do not maintain this error in the view of kids toward the country in which they grow up. But that is one of the dangers. But generally speaking, they're less prejudiced. They have a very difficult time when they step back into their home countries and hear people making derogatory comments towards someone of another culture. That's very, very painful for most third culture kids. They have the ability to be accepting. They're less likely to go to a country where they drive on the other side of the road and say they drive on the wrong side of the road. They'll say they drive on the other side of the road because they're not making a qualitative judgment on which side is right and which side is wrong. They just recognize that it's not necessarily better than, it's simply different than. And that's a cross-cultural skill that most of us as adults spend most of our lives trying to develop. Third culture kids come with that as part of their equipment. They have an expanded worldview. They realize that people on every side of the globe or any place on the globe are still people. And when they listen to the news and they hear that a plane has gone down or something tragic has happened in some other part of the world, there's a sense of identity. They put three-dimensional people in those pictures. And when a third culture kid reads a headline in a newspaper, the mental picture is very different than a monocultural kid's mental picture of that headline. And they feel things far more deeply. Now, one of the things that often distresses people in any home country is that the third culture kid doesn't seem to be as patriotic as other people. The interesting thing, however, is that when those kids are overseas, they often are the major rooters for their home country. However, when they're in their home country, they're the major rooter for whatever country they've come from. And they find themselves defending everybody. And it's just kind of that projection of being at home everywhere and nowhere all at the same time. And in some ways, maybe third culture kids are more patriotic because it's a greater loyalty that is able to identify the wrong and speak about the wrong and say, if my country is going to be a good country, those are things that it can't do. Maybe that's a better patriotism than sometimes the attitudes and dispositions that we would like to generate. When I do seminars at the UN International School in New York, before I start the seminar, I always ask why everyone has come. And there's bound to be someone in the group who says, we came to find out how to keep our kids from becoming American. And I tell them these are all people from outside the United States that are working at the UN. I say, I've got some good news and bad news. The bad news is that you made the decision before you arrived here. As soon as you made the decision to leave your home country and bring your kids to the United States, you made the decision that they would be influenced by American culture. So if you want them not to become American, it's too late. You've already brought them here. Now, the good news is that that doesn't have to ruin their lives. And they all laugh and relax. And I said, no, that's why we're here. But the same thing is true in the other direction. As soon as a person decides to live in another culture, they have decided, whether they meant to do it or not, they have decided that their kids will be influenced by that other culture. Now, the degree to which that influence takes place will vary for a lot of reasons, but nevertheless, that decision is made. When we as a body of believers encourage people to go overseas, we are helping them to make that decision. Therefore, we had better be ready to support them and comfort them and not make them feel guilty when they bring their kids home and their kids aren't exactly like every other kid. And we need to recognize that's really okay. Interesting how what a difficult time we have as Americans or Canadians or Brits or Hungarians or whatever country a person's from, how difficult we have to recognize time we have to recognize that we really are part of another kingdom first, and that kingdom relationship really does take precedence over our citizenship.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.